From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, this is Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. Last month, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered state agencies to investigate reports of gender-affirming treatment for transgender children. In a letter he wrote to the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, Abbott referred to this kind of treatment as child abuse. But there are multiple health agencies taking a stand in support of gender-affirming care. Crescent Care in Louisiana does more referrals for this kind of treatment than any other provider in the state. To learn more about the state of gender-affirming treatment, Louisiana Considered's managing producer, Alana Schreiber, spoke with Gender Services Patient Navigator at Crescent Care Health, Tucker Barker.
First, give us a refresher. What exactly is gender-affirming care, and what does it entail?
You know, Alana, I think that's a really great question. It seems like the answer to that is something that our legislators aren't super clear about, right? So gender-affirming care, I think there's a lot of misconceptions that that just means surgery, and that's just not true, right? Gender-affirming care is holistic healthcare. That includes everything from therapeutic care, gender-affirming primary care for some people. Some trans and non-binary, gender non-conforming people will affirm their gender with gender-affirming hormone therapy. That is one thing. And then sometimes that also includes surgical care and coordination, something that as a patient navigator, I get to support a lot of people with. And then there's also a pediatric side to the gender clinic here. So that includes all sorts of things, but really is like very hands-on pediatric support. And, you know, in cases where people don't have supportive family members, that can include like safety planning and housing access and other issues that can like get pretty complicated. But, you know, when we have legislators who are using this very big phrase, gender affirming care, in a way that is demonizing healthcare for a systemically marginalized community, that's when we get into serious issues.
You yourself are a gender services patient navigator, a job that I'm sure many people did not even know existed. So what does it mean to be a gender navigator, and what kind of work does that involve?
Patient navigation generally is sincerely about supporting people moving through systems of healthcare. When it comes to like gender-specific services, a lot of my job ends up being everything from like, you know, the very basics of scheduling new patients and connecting folks to the pediatric and adult side of our gender clinic here at Crescent Care, but also supporting folks with lots of other things that sometimes we might forget about that trans people like really need access to and support with. So sometimes that looks like accompanying people to appointments when things are really clinically complex. That means support with name and gender marker change if someone legally wants to engage in that. That also looks like safe injection trainings for people who are utilizing gender-affirming hormone therapy. We also run a binder exchange here, which is a program that supports people in accessing free chest binding resources that are like a lot safer than some of the things that our community has been forced to use in the past. And then also surgical coordination. So that includes making sure that clients understand like the necessary steps to be able to access a gender-affirming surgery, which is a very complex process. And making sure that clients have access to other basic needs like housing, transportation access, and sometimes crisis management.
While gender-affirming care seems to be threatened in Texas at the moment, what is the state of this kind of treatment in Louisiana? Should there be any cause for concern?
You know, what I've seen personally in working here is that a legislative session comes and our leadership at the state level will sometimes propose legislation that is really scary in the context of being able to access gender-affirming care for trans and gender-diverse people in Louisiana. Last year, we saw an example of that that was really specifically attacking healthcare. Right now, we're seeing Senate Bill number 44, which is specifically working to bar trans women from being able to play on sports teams that align with their gender identity. So I think it's clear that what's happening in Texas is really scary. It's really dehumanizing. It's enraging, concerning. There's lots of words to put to it. But in the context of Louisiana, in terms of what's going to happen in the future, I don't know. But unfortunately, we do have legislators that are not invested yet in understanding the clinical complexities of gender-affirming care and the needs of trans and non-binary gender diverse communities in Louisiana.
In his letter, Texas Governor Greg Abbott referred to gender affirmation treatment as child abuse. How did you and your team and perhaps even patients respond to this kind of language and rhetoric?
When we're talking about gender affirming care and generally like supportive families who have trans kids, referring to their support as child abuse is not only dehumanizing, it's sincerely dangerous. I have personally experienced as a patient navigator in the gender clinic, working with families and parents of minors who are trans, deep fear. People are afraid, right? People are afraid that their families are going to be split up. People are afraid that their kids are going to be forced into systems that don't have their best interest at heart. And the effects of that, of this type of legislation and this type of guidance is really far reaching. And, you know, it's somewhat similar to if we're looking at what's happened in the context of abortion access, like if you're not allowed to get an abortion in Texas, we're seeing that all of the clinics surrounding Texas are suddenly being inundated with folks who need healthcare, right? Basic healthcare is what we're talking about here. And that is something that we've experienced in the past as, you know, one of the first gender clinics in the entire state. I will say that we serve clients from across the US South, and you know, we have about 12 providers who are serving people of trans experience here at Crescent Care. So we serve a lot of people, right? We're in the process of cleaning our data, but well over 1,000 people of trans experience come to Crescent Care. And that includes young people who deserve access to basic healthcare that is affirming of their experience in the same way that anyone else does, that cisgender youth deserve healthcare.
This is not the first time elected officials have targeted transgender youth. Last year, Louisiana Senator Beth Meisel led the passage of a bill that restricts transgender youth from participating in sports at public schools on the teams of the gender they identify with, as you mentioned earlier. How did Crescent Care respond then, and how does the team respond now?
You know, I feel really lucky to work on this team, not only as a trans person from Louisiana moving through this world trying to support young people who had some of the support that I did, but also to see medical providers like truly step up when it comes to pushing back on this type of deeply antiquated legislation. There is so much support, not only from families that come here and patients that come here, but from the medical team itself and from the navigation team. Like, people know that this is wrong and we're not going down without a fight, right? Like, we have deep investments in making sure that gender diverse communities in the South have not only access to basic healthcare and housing and more, but our human rights must be respected. And there is a role of providers to be a part of that conversation. The National Center for Trans Equality reported that 59% of trans students have been denied access to restrooms consistent with their gender identity in school. 52% of trans and gender nonconforming youth have considered suicide in the last year. 94% of LGBTQ youth generally reported that recent politics have negatively impacted their mental health. That's some information that's coming from the Trevor Project. So we know that these types of policies, this type of legislation, this guidance has direct effects on young people's experiences and their mental health.
You mentioned this a bit earlier, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to speak a little bit about your personal experience. You mentioned that you yourself are transgender, grew up in Louisiana, and I'm wondering how you've kind of watched gender affirmation and acceptance change, you know, since you were growing up to now where you're in a position to kind of help coach young people through what was similar to what you were going through?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm currently sitting in Mid-City. I grew up down the street and in New Orleans. And I was really lucky, first of all, to come from a family and a faith-based community that was really accepting of and supportive of young queer and trans people. And that's, you know, not something that many people from this state can say, but I think personally, like, it's such a gift and an honor to be able to be present in young people's lives who are, you know, maybe have some of those things that I had, maybe don't, but it's a job that I take very seriously. and deeply love, right? Like there's something so special about getting to, you know, in my job, I get to text with moms, right? Moms of trans kids who are like, what should I do in this context? And like, how can I be supportive in this way? And, you know, getting to support not only young people, but like their parents in this type of care is, it's an honor. I mean, that's the only word that I can really come up with for it.
Well, that sounds really meaningful. Before we go, I'm wondering, you know, what advice do you have right now, not only for transgender children who might be in Texas or Louisiana feeling targeted by legislation or a proposed investigation, but also advice and guidance for people who are not in this community, but just want to know how to better support these individuals?
So I work for Crescent Care as a federally qualified healthcare facility. Community clinics, federally qualified healthcare facilities, generally, we are here for you, period. Like, we are here to make sure that you have access to the care that you need and deserve. And more clinics are taking on practices like we have that include things like sliding scale. For example, if you're on Medicaid and you live in Mississippi and you need to come here, we know that we can't bill your Medicaid in a different state. So we have ways of working around these systems that are truly, first of all, like unjust and are not meeting the needs of our communities. And also that like, we're not going anywhere, right? Trans people are not going anywhere and we've been here forever. So listening to our communities, inviting us to be at the tables that we're not at, looking at the tables that you're already at and assessing who's here, who's in the room and who's not. That's something that anyone can do, whatever field you're in. You don't have to be in healthcare to be part of that.
Tucker Barker is a gender services navigator for Crescent Care Health. Tucker, thank you for joining us today.
Alana, thank you for having me.
From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, this has been Louisiana Considered. Our producer is Alana Schreiber. Our digital editor, Caitlin Omholtz. Our engineers are Garrett Pittman, Aubrey Procell, and Thomas Walsh. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at 12 and 7:30 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts. And before we go, Louisiana Considered is excited to announce the launch of our new pitch line and listener survey. That's right. We want to hear from you. Send us your story ideas. And while you're at it, fill out our survey and tell us what you think about our show. You can find both the pitch line and the listener survey on our website at WWNO or WRKF.org.